A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. For the riches of the sea shall be emptied up before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Every nation on earth will adore you.
reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Know, dear brethren, that we have rejoiced at the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the leave of God's mercy, we announce to you the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the 18th day of February will fall Ash Wednesday and the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the 5th day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 14th day of May will be the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 24th day of May, the feast of Pentecost. On the 7th day of June, the feast of the most holy body and blood of Christ. On the 29th day of November, the first Sunday, the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever. Amen. I've always wanted to do that. Are you surprised? That's the movable feasts of the new church year. We wish you a happy new year, everyone, and a happy Epiphany. Beautiful Epiphany feast day. It's my favorite always of the Christmas season. And I'll share you why with, you know, as a priest, I've enjoyed it more because when you celebrate Epiphany, your parishioners who want to be here are here. And so, and it's added the solemnity of the season. It's called Little Christmas. And so the readings reflect that of the season. But I want to go a little bit today beyond the mystery of who the three magi were of the Epiphany season and that we celebrate. And who are they? In the grand scale of salvation history, few figures are more mysterious than the three magi who tracked a star to Bethlehem to give homage to a newborn king with their humble gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if you want to read what gold and frankincense and myrrh, the symbolism, you can read it in the bulletin. And if you didn't get a bulletin coming to church today, you can read it online. You can read our bulletin online. So it's a good sign. I think the people took the bulletin home and they read. They actually read what I wrote for a change, which is good. And despite the fact that they are a part of every retelling of the Nativity story, who the Magi actually were has been a source of debate for centuries. Were they princes? Were they kings? Were they actually wise? Or were they, as their name implies, magicians? For many years, the biblical scholars dismissed their inclusion in the story as pure fable, as a myth. However, even though history has not been totally clear on who these men were, over time, through tradition, through ancient writings and other clues, through various theories about who these three wise men and where they came from, they have emerged. Curiously, if you attended Father George's scripture class when we had him here for Advent, the Nativity story actually just appears really in two of the gospel readings. Matthew is written for the Jews, and Luke is written for the Greeks. You know, the Nativity story as we know it is not in Mark or in as we know it or as in the Gospel of John. But anyway, the story or the theory is for many years that the wise men were in fact kings, and they hail from the eastern regions of Ind, that's Chaldea and Persia. And the theory originated from a 14th century monk. The history of the three kings that was written by John of Hildesheim, a Carmelite friar. And the names that are traditionally associated with the three kings are Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. And they find their origin in a Greek text from the 8th century. And they also are referred to in the friar's account. In this version of history, these three kings did not know each other, but were guided to Bethlehem independently by a star, a sign that prophesied the Messiah that had been born, a prophecy that they would have been very familiar with. Their paths converged, and they reached their destination, not on Christmas night, as many popular stories tell it, but most likely about a year after Jesus was born. That's why when we put them in church now, we have a popular way of making them travel. We start them at the end over here, at the beginning over here, and they travel and they end up finally at the Nativity. You know, as Matthew's gospel recounts, it was during the reign of Herod that the three kings arrived in Bethlehem. And shortly after their arrival, the Holy Family fled into Egypt. Another interesting and more recent theory about the three magi comes from a Catholic author and priest and speaker, very good writer, writes very well and has written on our faith and on the rosary, and very apologetic writer, Father Dwight Longenecker. In his book, The Mystery of the Magi, Father Longenecker digs into the geography, ancient history, archaeology, religion, and culture of the Roman Empire at the time of the birth of Jesus. And he presents compelling evidence who the Magi actually were. Far from mere myth, the history that Father Longenecker uncovers reveals that the Magi were most likely diplomats from a neighboring region of Judea called Nabatea. And they hailed from the city of Petra. And after hearing that a new heir to the Judean throne had been born, the Nabatean king, King Artus IV, sent them as emissaries to King Herod's court to pay homage to the newborn king. The gifts that they brought were the customary gifts of the Arabian kingdom from which they journeyed. So according to Father Longenecker's research, the Magi were not from Persia, but rather from Arabia. And they weren't kings or wise men, though clearly they were very wise to trace the star to Bethlehem, which also Father Longenecker interprets as an astrological phenomenon. That's why we sing the opening hymn, "What Star Is This?" And the words tell us of the journey that was made. Nor also they were not musicians, but his theory is that they were diplomats sent to establish a diplomatic alliance with King Herod. And their names probably were not Melchior, Caspar, or Balthazar. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because a lot of what we believe as Catholics in this story as well is mystery. So do we say mystery solved? Or is it? We'll probably never know. And then, of course, the Nativity was made popular by St. Francis of Assisi. Is it a correct interpretation? Again, we don't know. You look at the stained glass windows there, you see, you know, also too, Mary and Joseph and the Christ child and people kneeling. We don't know exactly where he was born. The Eastern Church always likes to use the imagery, especially in icons, of a cave. Regardless, though, of history and mystery surrounding these wonderful figures, the three Magi remain a key of the Christmas story, of the Nativity story. The Church commemorates their arrival in Bethlehem each year on the Feast of the Epiphany, a day too that we are invited to share. We are invited to share the Magi's gifts, because hence the word and Christ's revelation to the Gentiles. Because the word Epiphany in itself means divine revelation. Christ is made manifest. He is made present for you and for me. And in this same way, the Magi represent us. They represent us in the Christmas story. Though we might not have to physically travel thousands of miles to encounter Jesus, it is still a journey that our hearts make every Christmas. And during his Angelus address on the Feast of the Epiphany in 2023, Pope Francis observed that the Magi allowed themselves to be amazed and inconvenienced by the novelty of a star. And they set out on a journey toward the unknown. Educated and wise, they were fascinated more by what they did not know than by what they already did know. They opened themselves up to what they did not know. They felt called to go beyond. As we reflect on the mystery of the Magi this Christmas, may we too feel the call to go beyond and encounter the newborn King new in our hearts, falling prostrate before him and offering the humble gift of ourselves in imitation of the Magi. Now, at this Mass, I will bless anew the Epiphany water, which is also Christ represented to us, that he comes to us and made manifest in the blessing of this water. Now, if you forgot your container, that's okay. The water will be there for another week. And oh, bless, we will renew our baptismal vows next week when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and the Christmas season officially ends. And why does it end at the baptism of our Lord? Again, because Christ makes himself manifest to you and to me. He makes himself present. So feel free, if you brought a bottle with you, you can take the blessed water home with you. If not, feel free again to bring it next week as well.